love to call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings, this is the automatically deleted husband, and I have the evidence now in hand, and I'll include the picture in the email, and well, obviously online too. I know now, beyond question, complete certainty, absolute convinced why my wife abandoned the marriage. Because if you look at the picture today, from the day, you will see that in the grace of God, four garlic braids arrived that'll last me for the next many months. And I tried some of them. I tried one. And it's a really good taste this year. It's really good. I am very pleased. They seem to be a little bit bigger than last year, but the taste is excellent. So I've got my new from Gilroy, California, my new stock of garlic braids, and I'm a happy man. And I know that's the reason my wife said, no, I can't take that. You know, obviously I'm being facetious. I am grateful. I do enjoy the garlic. It really, really tastes good. But anyway, I'm grateful that that came. But two other things. One is I read it yesterday, but since yesterday's got so long, I didn't mention it. I read the leader's Hajj message in Iran. The leader, you know, they have the president and so forth, but they have the religious leader. It's not Khomeini, it's like that. They simply call him the leader. And he gave a message about the Hajj, because it started. And I read it. You know, it's kind of strange. You say, you know, you're a follower of Christ, and you're listening to a Shia, leader of the Shia community in Iran, talk about the Hajj. That it happens in the Sunni-based area of Saudi Arabia, and yes, I did, because I'm I want to understand not what people badmouth them, but what they say. And one of the things I found so fascinating is if you read that, read his message, I think what you will find is something that a lot of Christian, or we might say pseudo-Christian leaders, would say basically the same kind of stuff. Obviously, instead of praising Allah and Muhammad and so forth, they would be praising Christ. Well, you know, obviously he actually praises Christ, but he praises the prophet Jesus, not the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's, you know, that's, again, one of the fundamental differences. But I found that fascinating. Because if you just Christianize the words, in a sense, the delivery is identical to, especially, you know, megachurch leaders or political leaders. Same kind of thing. It's the exact same kind of thing. And it's fascinating because the objective is not a really... Because it's a good presentation. But it's not a good presentation that matters. Is it true? And a lot, he offers a lot of truth in what he says, but the core is not, and that's the issue. If you build truth based on a fallacy, you got a problem. But last thing, I've sent out now, today was the third card with the theme of Genesis 42:21. And what I did, because I'm using that theme, and I'll do several more of these cards, I made a separate area on the website to expand on that, to make it clear. And I think I'm going to do the odd thing. I spent a little time, and I wrote a short article on that. So it's right there for everybody to see. I think what I'm going to do is simply read it, because it's short. The title is Genesis 42:21, When He Begged Us. It was the 1980s when I first sat down and read the book of Genesis completely. As a young follower of Christ, it was interesting to see a bit more of what I read only parts of. However, being the first full read, it was only a surface understanding. But the story of Joseph stood out a bit, since my middle name is Joseph. As the decades went on, it became clear to me that often what we read in the Bible are stories of things that we experience in milder format. When Paul writes, "I'm talking like a madman," passage in 2 Corinthians 11, which is literally beside myself, I suggest it is there to allow us to know that in the Lord's grace, we will not have to endure such extremes. The extremes, both the lows and highs of Joseph, I have not experienced, but I've tasted so much of milder versions. There are numerous cases where I've experienced from my Christian brothers that what is happening is wrong. I have expressed to my Christian brothers what is happening is wrong, and more often than not, simply theft. It has caused me to be shunned and repeatedly fired. My follow-up has often been decisively wrong. But again, there's Paul's model of being the chief of sinners, and I claim to be his deputy. There is little evidence from those I am pursuing reconciliation with that they will respond to my requests. There hasn't been a single response to 3 months of daily postcards, nor has there been any response to now over 1,200 voicemails to my kids. The postcards and voicemails are online. Then there is Genesis 45, where we read, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" For me, my desire is to say face to face to my young kids, "I'm your dad. I'm still alive." So what is my wife's response? She goes to the state to get a restraining order. I think often of holding my 8-month-old son Zadok on my chest to sleep, then taking him to a van with the other kids for my wife and kids to spend the day with friends. That was 9 years ago, and I haven't seen my young kids since. This is what reminds me of Genesis 42:21. They said to one another, "In truth, we are guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw his distress of his soul when he begged us, and we did not listen. That is why this distress has come upon us." Do you think I will stop pursuing a reconciled family? Not a chance. My love for my wife and kids is as strong as ever. I will not turn from my wife. My kids are familiar with my often repeated line, "My home is your home. I will never cast you out." That stands. There is distress in my soul. Will anyone listen? My lady, I love you.